All right, we're going back to Detroit right now. We're sitting in about 75-degree weather in the sunshine,
it's
and
nice.
We're going back to
it's
Detroit
nice.
To talk to CSN Bags, a wonderful baseball analyst and a good friend of Patrick and myself. Pat, let's bring in Andy Baggerly, CSN Bags. Bags, how are you today?
What's up, Andy?
I'm good, Marty. Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Good. Well, we're doing good. First of all, the weather report. I think that's on everybody's mind as we sit out. You know what it looks like here at the Public House.
Yeah, you know, actually, it's really sunny and nice here today. Bright skies, there's some scattered clouds, but they're happy clouds. They're not threatening clouds. And it is a little chilly, a little snap in the air, more so than what these guys are used to. But you know what? When you're a Giant, you realize you're going to be cold in August. So I don't think the cold is really going to be a factor for anybody.
Well, I think Mark Twain once said that the coldest winter I ever had was summer in San Francisco. So
he did.
Somebody said that somewhere. Hey, Andy, what's the mood around Comerica Park? Tigers down 2-0. They're now home. What does it feel like back there?
Well, I think people are very enthusiastic. I mean, they've been waiting, for a long time since the Tigers swept out the Yankees, knowing that the World Series would be coming here. But, you know, at the same time, there's definitely a little bit of doom and gloom knowing that the Tigers are down 2-0 in this series. I'm just... deboarding the media shuttle here. Hang on one second.
That's good. All right. This is part of live radio. Go ahead.
Yes. All right. So I'm off the media shuttle and on the ground. I think from what I hear, the tickets aren't going as briskly as people thought they would be on the secondary market and everything. The Tigers fans may be a little bit glum over the fact that they're down 2-0 in this series, but, you know, the Tigers have won 8 straight here at home, Marty, and you look at what they've done against right-handed pitching and I counted up all the home runs, 74 home runs hit by Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder, 64 of them against right-handers, 40 of 44 of Mickey's were against right-handers. So definitely they're a power threat. They're a threat in this ballpark, and I think they know they've got to win this game today to keep this series looking real dire for them.
Andy Baggerly joining Marty and I, and Andy's, of course, at Comerica Park in Detroit are on his way. And hey, give us a scouting report. I know Giants fans know Anibal Sanchez pretty well, but he's a Tiger now, and he won't be pitching at AT&T Park, obviously, tonight. But the Tigers have to feel pretty confident with him taking the bump tonight, don't you think?
Well, he's got 5 career starts against the Giants. He's 3-0 with an 0.36 ERA at AT&T Park, so he might just want to move there. But his other 2 starts have been pretty rough, including one in Florida earlier this year. And, you know, the one guy who's just owned him over his career is Melky Cabrera. He's something like 8-for-15. Obviously, Melky won't be in there today, but I think it's going to be Angel Pagan. He's seen a lot of Anibal Sanchez over the years. Sanchez doesn't quite have the put-away stuff that he had in the past. His strikeout rate has really gone down. It was over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings a year ago, but down around in the mid-7s this year. And since he's joined the Tigers, even below 7. And he hasn't pitched in the postseason before either, so he's definitely in uncharted territory in terms of innings and such. And, you leave everything out there, the adrenaline does take over, but maybe Sanchez won't be quite the dominant pitcher that we're used to seeing. I think it's going to be up to Angel Pagan right from the start to work him, foul off a lot of pitches, really get his pitch count up and get in that Tigers bullpen, because there's a lot of good opportunities to be had against that soft Tigers bullpen.
Andy, Bruce Bochy's got some decisions to make today. First of all, the DH, who that's going to be. And then how does he fit him into this lineup? And I suggested last night, for whatever it was worth, I said they ought to hit Blanco 9th and have Pagan 1st. And I know what Leland is doing. He's got Jackson and Berry at the top of the lineup, and Berry can steal bases. And he's got Infante 7-for-11 against Vogelsong in the 9th spot. You think Bochy will shake this lineup up at least? We know the names will be in there, but how's he going to put them in order?
Well, I think that's a great point, Marty. And Blanco is a guy who really is almost a second leadoff man. So to have him 9th would be a good position. That would be the way I would go, too, I think. And maybe you've got Hector Sanchez, Brandon Belt. You got a lot of lefties down there in the lower part of that lineup. But Blanco's a lefty hitter as well. So and Sanchez, the switch hitter. So if they go to the bullpen and bring in a lefty, you can have Sanchez split up the left-handers and swing from the right side. So I do like Blanco in that 9 spot, and we haven't seen a lineup yet today, but I assume it's going to come out pretty shortly.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see that. So DH, American League Park, the Giants have to adjust to that, and they better adjust to it right away.
Well, they got to adjust 2 ways. One is you got to find another stick, and that's Hector. Only 1 RBI by Giants DH is in interleague play this year. So they definitely, you know, it's a disadvantage for a National League team because you're trying to find a guy fill a position that you don't have on your roster usually. But when you look at Vogelsong, what the challenge is for him is there's no soft part of the lineup. There's no eight hitter that you can pitch around to get to the pitcher spot. It's not just, you know, supplanting a position player for a pitcher. It's how you approach the number eight hitter, too. It's quite a bit different from the National League to the American League. So definitely Vogelsong is going to have to be focused from one pitch to the next and try to just, you know, keep these innings as short as possible. And that's hard to do when you don't have that pitcher spot down there.
Well, you're on your way to the park as you're speaking. The SFG on Twitter has put out the lineup. So they didn't take my advice, so make sure you, when you see Bochy and Wotus, you let them know that. But
What do we got?
Pagan in center, Scudero at second. Sandoval at third, of course. Posey catching, Pence in right, then Belt at first. Blanco, then Sanchez hitting in the eighth spot, and then Crawford hitting ninth. So they broke up the two lefties with Sanchez potentially later in the game.
Well, and I think that's just Bochy going with as close to his National League lineup as possible. And that makes sense. I can understand why he would do that. He's just very much about continuity right now. But I do like that idea about Blanco being a second leadoff guy hitting ninth. I would be right there with you on that one.
All right. Now, there'll be a couple of new names for us in the Tiger lineup, and one is Andy Dierks, and the other one is Quinton Berry. Can you tell us a little bit about either one of those, Andy?
Well, Berry is one of few guys who will get on base and look to steal. He had, I think, about 26 or 28 steals in the regular season. And Dierks is a contact guy. He's a tough out. He's almost their version of Scudero. Hit 330-plus during the regular season. You know, and I think that gives them better table setters, gives them a better chance to turn the lineup over. Now, one thing that works to the Giants' advantage is that, you know, Vogelsong is pretty good at holding runners, probably their best starting pitcher at holding runners. So you put a lineup out there that can, you know, maybe have some more steal threats. That would be bigger if Bumgarner's on the mound, because Bumgarner's just had such a tough time with base runners. Or Lincecum, as we know, coming out of relief, but Vogelsong is so good at every aspect of what he does, fielding his position, holding runners, trying to control every aspect of the game. So, you know, I think that he'll probably mitigate some of that.
What a story, though, Vogelsong. And Andy Baggerly with us. You know, you look at his three postseason starts, a huge game against the Reds, an elimination game. Then all of a sudden against the Cardinals, he comes up in an elimination game. And then you got to win a game in that second game of the World Series. He wins that one. I just can't say enough about this guy, and he's doing it. He looks like Matt Cain of 2010.
Well, and you know the starting pitching is 5-0 with an 0.55 ERA over the last five games. But Vogelsong, you'd have to say, is the ace of the staff right now. As much as Matt Cain means and has meant, and as much as Matt Cain has already won two winner take all games to win series. You know, there's a reason that Bruce Bochy didn't flip-flop Cain and Vogelsong. Cain's only going to pitch once in this series in Game 4. Vogelsong, you can bring him back for Game 7. And I think that's a concession to the stuff. The fact that even though Cain did very well in Game 7 against the Cardinals, his stuff was up, his fastball was up. You know, he really had to work hard. Whereas Vogelsong has just been tremendous. That two-seamer's got a lot of run, a lot of life. You know, it looks like he's got all the gas in the world in his tank. Really looking good with his off-speed pitches. Just establishing everything from the get-go and compete so well out there. And, you know, I think one thing that's been hammered home is he's never going to take anything for granted because of where he's been. He's always going to have an appreciation for the game, an appreciation for this opportunity, and just a real intense focus to make the most of it.
You know, it's a great story. Of course, the day before he pitches, you can't even go near him. He put that into 2 days before he pitches. But on this stage, he's got to be accessible to people. How is he dealing with that?
Yeah, well, he had to go. As soon as they got off their flight yesterday, Bochy and Vogelsong went to the interview room, and Vogelsong had the murder-death stare going on the whole time. He was very intense. I don't know if you saw any of it, but whenever Bochy would answer a question, you just look at Vogelsong, and he had this this look on his face like he's about to, you know, punch a hole through a wall. So he answered all the questions dutifully. I asked him one about Mark Gardner and how influential Gardy has been in helping him with his mechanics over this season. He gave a really good, thoughtful answer to that, but you could tell he just not want to be there. Oh, and he did say he was working on finding a good Mexican restaurant, so I'm sure he was able to find some enchiladas somewhere last night.
We had one caller last night who wanted to send – I did the show last night – wanted to send us rally enchiladas last night. I said, wait a minute. It's 10 o'clock at night. I think that's it for us. So
remember,
be some
the media,
heartburn.
You can't turn down free food.
Yeah.
It's in our contract.
That's right. If it's free, it's for me, and I want three of them. That's the media
yeah.
talk. Hey, Andy, you're on the media bus. What does that look like? Give us a little scene of you're on the media bus heading to the park. Is it filled up with people? Are you alone?
No, I was just getting off the bus when you called. It's just a shuttle that runs from the hotel. The hotel's the Renaissance Center Marriott there, and it's a big, huge tower. My room overlooks Windsor, Canada, which is very flat, aside from a Caesar's Palace casino on the other side. And, it's not that far to get to the ballpark, maybe about an eight-minute ride. And there are only about three or four other folks on my shuttle, so they do some things to try to make it a little logistically easier for the media here, but it's always a lot of people. Everything takes longer than you think. You got to just make sure you come early, come prepared, and be ready to deal with curveballs. Because there's a lot of people here. It's the World Series, so you definitely expect to have a little less elbow room in the press box, and I'm sure that'll be the case tonight.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time, and I hope we can talk to you tomorrow, maybe the same time tomorrow, and there's going to be a great story for you to write, and you'll tweet about it, and you write about six stories every day, and I don't know how you do it, but you're doing a great, great job for all the people who follow baseball, Andy.
Way to go, Bags.
Well, thanks, Marty. Thanks, Patrick. I appreciate that. And, yeah, let's talk tomorrow. And, by the way, go Wildcats. We beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. Big win for us today.
I wondered why you weren't there right away, and I figured, all right, he's watching the game. So Northwestern won today. Very good for you.
Good season for you guys.
Always a good day when the Hawkeyes lose.
All right. Andy, thanks so much. CSN Bags. Thanks, Andy.
All right. Take care.
All right. That is Andy Bagger. Good hand for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Detroit. At the ballpark now, and the weather, Pat?
Not too bad. Right now, currently sitting at 51, and it's probably going to be mid-40s, so whether or not they got Bags in the press box or in the auxiliary area, right. I think he'll be all right. So he'll all be right. Warmed up probably by, 42,000, 45,000 people there?
Yeah. Wow. What a day.